1 Samuel chapter 2, we want to look, or begin to look at the prayer life of Samuel, a man who was born of prayer. And I really kind of think with his mother that even though she only saw him once a year, that all the other times of the year she was no doubt praying for him. And he certainly needed it. You think of the time in which he grew up, a time of the judges where there was no king, every man did what was right in his own eyes. We think of the poor examples that he had of these ones that were priests. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. They caused people to despise the offering of the Lord. And so certainly he would have had good reason based on kind of their influence to turn out bad, but we see he didn't, and we can be thankful for that. We see verse 26 of 1 Samuel 2, it says, "And the child grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men," that he was conducting himself well. I think we can recognize his mother's instruction much the same as with Moses, that when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That his mother only had him for a short time, but she made the most of that time and kind of developed his character, prepared him for life in many ways. And from the beginning, you see it with Moses, you see it with Samuel as well, that they were, they had been put on the right track by their mother. So then we see 1 Samuel 3, it says, "A child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Came to pass that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.'" And we see here, as we've seen throughout with Abraham, with Moses and others, that God is the one that initiates the relationship, that he is the one that speaks to him, that he has a plan, he has a purpose for his life, and he wants to share it with him, he wants to tell him what's going to happen. And of course, he didn't know the Lord yet. It says in verse 7, it says Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him, that he did not have that understanding yet, but the Lord is speaking to him. And you see his obedience, that it's the middle of the night, well, it's late at night anyways, and he hears his voice called, and he comes right away. That he doesn't moan and groan and complain about getting out of bed or hear it again and not bother to listen to it. We see each time it comes, it says, "I heard someone call me, so I came." And he thought it was Eli calling him because Eli was the only other person there with him. Eli figured it out, that the Lord had called the child, and he said, "Okay, well, this is what you do. Go lie down. If you hear the voice call you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So he was instructed by Eli, directed, and so then the Lord spoke to him again and revealed his plan to Samuel. And so you see, again, the foundation that his mother has laid of obedience to whoever is in authority over him, and that's what God wants of us, that we obey right away with a good attitude. And so that's what Samuel did, that he was eager to obey. And we'll actually see a bit more of that understanding. He spoke to Saul about to obey is better than sacrifice, that and he could actually take that himself from what he saw, that he had the Hophni and Phinehas did all these sacrifices and other things, but they weren't obedient to the Lord. and they actually caused people to despise the temple of the Lord. Whereas Samuel, that he recognized the importance of obedience from a young age. So we see that God reveals his plan to Samuel, tells him what's going to happen to the house of Eli. And he was kind of put in a hard place in some ways, that Eli is his elder, the one that he is to respect and honor. And he's told these things about Eli and what's going to happen. And then Eli says, well, what did the Lord tell you? And it would have been hard for him as a boy to share that. But he did, and he didn't hide anything from him, and told Eli completely the truth. And he recognized God's plan, God's hand in it, and accepted God's pronouncement. But we see, it says, verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So we see that the Lord was with him, the Lord was blessing him, made what he did to prosper, to not be in vain, that none of his words fell to the ground. You think of it that how many words a person can speak through the day can be idle words. And the Lord actually says that will be for every idle word will be brought into judgment. But we see with Samuel that none of his words fell to the ground. That if he said something, that it had value, it had meaning, it made a difference. And we understand that it's because the Lord was with him. That the Lord didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. And it was evident to everyone around that he had a relationship with God. God was going to use him in some way. So then we see in the next few chapters, the ark of God is taken. Hophni and Phinehas are slain. The house of Eli is judged. And then, of course, the Philistines take it as a spoil of war, and soon they're trying to find a way to give it back after the Lord punishes them for that, and the ark returns, and the people got it, and they opened up the ark in Beth Shemesh, and the Lord slew them. And we see in chapter 7, 1 Samuel 7, verse 1, the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar's son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So we see that the ark is returned, but it's there, and people aren't really seeking after it, and they're lamenting just the situation that they're in. They're under the oppression of the Philistines. The glory of the Lord has departed from the temple, and they just don't know what to do. So we see Samuel, that he was just a boy before. Now, 20 years later, he's a man. And he steps up and takes the leadership. He steps forward to lead the people. And he speaks to them. Verse 3. All the house of Israel saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. That he calls them to repentance, to the removal of idols from their life. And we see that they did that. They put away their idols. They served the Lord only. And he says, everybody gather together to Mizpah. I will pray for you unto the Lord. And so he prayed, and the people will confess their sins. And he ministered to them in their behalf. Praying to God, interceding for them. But then we see that this, essentially a prayer meeting of all the children of Israel are there, that they're seeking the Lord, seeking His mercy, and the Philistines find out that they're gathered together, and they think, well, boy, this is a perfect opportunity to go in there, and of course the people are not prepared. They don't have any weapons of war. They're praying. And they say, verse 8 of that chapter, "The children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.'" And so they ask him to pray on their behalf. And so he was called to pray. And we see this verse 9. "Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel." And I think that that phrase in verse 9, where Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him, how precious that is. And that's what we desire, that when we pray, that the Lord would hear us, the Lord would respond. And think of that, he cried unto the Lord, that he asked, he beseeched, he implored the Lord. And we see that the Lord answered in a way far beyond what they would expect. And we see that the Lord himself thundered upon the Philistines and discomforted them. That Israel didn't really have to do anything, that God went out and fought against the Philistines, and essentially Israel just chased after them and kind of gathered the spoil from it. And then we see verse 12, "And Samuel took a stone set between Mizpah and Shen, called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" That he's giving honor to the Lord. He recognizes that the Lord brought deliverance, and so God was deserving of the glory. And so we see verse 13, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." And it's interesting that the Philistines were a very strong people. Kind of in the history, it's understood that they had access to iron weapons, where most others just had the bronze weapons, if they had anything. And so they had kind of a technological advantage, and they were very fierce people. But yet, we see that all the days of Samuel, that they were scared to go into Israel, that God was against them. And it's interesting, the power of prayer is stronger than the armies. All the days of Samuel, they were protected. And it was only when they rejected Samuel as leader that they asked for a king, that we see the Philistines returning, and Saul had to fight against them, and later David. But it's interesting that just the power of Samuel's prayers, that they were, they didn't need to have great armies. They just had God's power protecting them. It was because of his prayers. And so we want to get just kind of a glimpse of that. Just Samuel was a man of prayer, and he made a difference because of his prayers. And we don't want to ever think that there is no power in prayer, that God wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. And that's what we see with Samuel, that he was a faithful man throughout all the years of his life. He was essentially the last judge of the judges, and he was faithful in what he did. And it certainly gives us thought of what prayer can do, and I think challenges us that we too might learn to pray as Samuel did.